Deuce and more. They tell you what they know. Deuce and more. The podcast that you know.
Hey, welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording this on a Tuesday night. The Kings went to Salt Lake City, played a close preseason game, but ultimately fell against the Utah Jazz, 117-114. Sacramento now 0-4 in the preseason. Morgan Reagan, they got one preseason game left.
Ooh.
It's coming up Thursday night at the Intuit Dome against the Clippers, and then a week off before the regular season. The real shit kicks off October 24th, Kings and T-Wolves. How you doing?
Fine.
What's your vibe tonight after what we saw Sunday when it was disgusting in the preseason and I was raising my slightly concerned.
Terminology. Yes. I had to bring you back down to earth. Better than I was feeling about things on Sunday.
This was a more of a preseason game you kind of expect, where it's just like, oh, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah.
It's a mixed bag. Like, I look at the Kings' first two preseason games against the Warriors, and you went, man, there was a lot to like from the Stars. It was almost like too good. And then you had...
I mean, it wasn't too... They lost both those games.
Oh, Yeah, but they were playing the bench guys and all that stuff.
My point... Okay, go on.
But then, you know, Sunday against the Blazers, you're playing your starters heavy minutes, and then you're like, God, that was... hideous.
It's not pretty.
Oh, wow. Size, length, physicality, bugging the Kings. That's going to...
All those things.
I'm a little nervous now, slightly concerned. So tonight, I was curious to see what type of team I was going to get. And it was a mixed bag. I thought there was some really great stuff.
Yeah.
There was some stuff.
Good description.
It was definitely a mixed bag. Like, kind of what jumped out to you in this one?
Well, the one of the things that... stuck out to me was the same concern that we have, just the size of this Kings team. And
yeah.
I mean, something that I mentioned to you before we even started the show, I was like, you know, something as simple as this. Like, I saw Jordan Clarkson, he was in a zone defense at this point. And so then he was near Malik Monk. And I'm just like, holy shit, he looks a lot bigger. And
that's like one of their smaller guys.
I know.
6'5".
Yeah, I know. And I just thought it was interesting that I had that thought. And then as you obviously see through the game, I mean, block shots and everything, like, that's going to happen with these teams, with certain matchups with this type of size. That's not going to be every team in the NBA. And it's not that the Kings don't have anything to match up against it, especially when you look at someone like Alex Len, who can now stretch the floor and shoot some threes. Okay. I'll keep going though. But you get what I'm saying. Like, it's not, there's going to be other things that you can do great with the talent you have that will be fine when you don't have size. But what we saw in the last two games was physicality and size kind of being the thing that really affects this Kings roster right now.
Well, you've got Markkanen, who's out there, who's a 7-footer. Kessler is a 7-footer. Even Taylor Hendricks, he's got great size, like, what, 6'9". Off the bench, you got Cody Williams, a rookie, 6'8". John Collins, 6'9". Yeah, a lot of that out there. And, like, I never thought I'd be begging for Trey Lyles to get back just so the Kings could have some additional size on this roster.
In toughness, yeah.
But, like, this is big picture-wise. It's not even so much about the preseason. It's just the reality. The Kings did not address their size over the offseason up front. Like, Harrison Barnes, 6'8", right?
Yeah,
6'7", 6'8". Like,
yeah.
He's slightly bigger than DeMar DeRozan. We all know Harrison Barnes had some defensive issues in Sacramento the last couple of years. But the Kings didn't, like, get better in that area by adding DeMar DeRozan. So you're left looking around going, okay, this is going to be a theme until it's addressed.
Well, something I noticed when I started watching Starting Five and on Netflix, and something that did make, make me happy, I guess.
Was hearing my voice so much in episode two?
No, surprisingly, no, that was not it. I hear your voice enough.
Dude, but, I honestly.
Oh, and he's taking it away.
Hearing it, yeah, I cringe. I'm like, God, could you glaze Sabonis anymore? Like, I was sick. Like, I was just envisioning if that was someone else doing that to Sabonis. Like, okay, dude, relax.
But you have to think about when that soundbite was taken, too. It was like either after a really good game of his and or a pre-show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Before a good game of his.
Juice Irrational, Juice Mason.
Correct.
Happy as shit.
Correct.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
Anyway, going back to my freaking point.
My bad.
When I was watching Certified, I was like, oh my God, he's gone, he's gone. It was like Barnes, yeah. Sasha, Davion.
JaVale.
I mean, every single piece. And I'm just like, there has been a lot of tweaks, a lot of changes. And just really looking at that made me excited from the standpoint, like things are going to be different, right? It's not running it back. Things are going to be different. But I think truly when you look at everything, you do have to also look at the different matchups, especially in the Western Conference, like Minnesota, for example, you know, with Randall and Gobert as well. Like, what is that going to be now? And then we're seeing with teams as bad as Portland and Utah in that just being something that really screws with this Kings roster.
Yeah, and up and down the West, too. I mean, you see a team like OKC.
Yes, 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 yes.
Isaiah Hartenstein. They've got Chet. Like, yeah, there's no doubt about it. And I'll say this. I do feel like I've been encouraged by Keegan's growth because they're going to be asking him to deal with some of these bigger guys. They're asking a lot from Keegan again. And I think last year the hope was, hey, maybe he can morph into something like 20 points a game scoring, you know? It was his defense that took a jump when he's defending guards all the time. But tonight, just like he did in the Warriors game, he's defending so many different types of players. Like, you need to put him on Sexton for a possession. Mm-hmm. Keontae George, you can do that, and he's not going to get, like, lost. And then, like, he's also dealing with Markkanen, who at 7 foot has the ability to stretch the floor, put the ball on the floor. And there was one point, like, Markkanen did put the ball on the floor, try to go baseline. I think it was in the first quarter on Keegan, and Keegan was strong. He was defending with his chest, forced a miss, and it made me really encouraged about what Keegan can be this year because they're going to need him to play his size.
100%. And he's going to. Not only is he going to play his size, but then you saw the confidence of even shoving De'Aaron Fox on Markkanen for a second. And how many times did I text you?
Hey, De'Aaron.
That's what I'm saying. Like, just because they lack that size, there's going to be certain areas of the game, whether it's like not being able to finish at the rim because there's rim protectors, different things. You got to just adjust your game. And what I loved is that they started adjusting even things on that defensive end, even if it still wasn't always the prettiest thing, especially in the beginning when the help was late so many different freaking times. But like, for example, though, when De'Aaron was on Markkanen, and I was encouraged. I was like, he's being active. He's being feisty. He's not going to take any shit from this guy.
And that's the reality is this is what the Kings are at the
Absolutely.
Moment. And they're going to have to do some weird things every once in a while.
For sure.
And if it's like, let's throw a possession where we're okay with Fox being switched on to Markkanen because he kind of embraces the challenge. He's really good at getting these pokeaways.
Yep.
And I thought the Kings actually, when that happened a couple of times, it was really good team defense, too. I think, you know, you got Fox banging with him, and then here comes Malik Monk on help or Keon Ellis or something like that. So I was encouraged by those elements. But, yeah, I mean, this is not a shock to anyone who's watched the Kings the last couple of years. It's like, oh, yeah, like the size is going to be problematic throughout the year until that's addressed. But the good news is you're seeing that Keegan is playing a little bigger. They still need that other guy, though.
I know, but you're exactly right.
And getting Trey back will help, right? And even Kevin, who's like longer, like he's 6'7". You just got a lot of small guys out there.
That's it. And I think there's other ways to fill that void with certain talent. And if they didn't have certain weapons and certain talent, I wouldn't feel as confident. But again, we'll see.
Yep.
We'll see as those matchups keep happening through the beginning of the season.
There were some wild ass stats in a preseason. This looked like a preseason box score. Number one, Sacramento had 105 shot attempts in this game.
Okay.
Utah had 71. Mm. Yeah, Sacramento took 34 more shots.
Crazy.
And lost the game by 3. Okay. That's not ideal, right?
Okay.
Sacramento had 20 offensive rebounds in this game.
Yeah.
That's a great number.
Uh-huh.
They had 22 second chance points in this game.
Cool.
Crazy. The other number, Sacramento,
so weird,
only made 45 shots out of the 105. 45, but they had 32 assists on those 45 makes. That's a that's a really healthy number. Mm-hmm. They only had 11 turnovers. Meanwhile, Utah had 25 turnovers that turned into 32 points for Sacramento.
Okay.
Utah also had 12 blocks in this game. Jeez,
of course they did.
Sacramento had 16 steals in this game.
How many points did they make off the steals?
Points off turnovers. They scored 32 points turnovers. Okay. But yeah, so Sacramento got a shit ton of extra chances because the 20 offensive rebounds and they forced 25 turnovers at 16 steals.
Yep.
So there's definitely like some good in there, right? But ultimately right now, like Sacramento's not shooting the ball well at all through four games. They were 10 of 38 from downtown in this one.
Yeah.
Where's your concern meter? Is it you slightly with the shooting or no?
You don't need it. You don't need it. We don't even need a concern meter. Like get just get rid of like we don't need to. So we don't need to define this topic at, like you don't need to bring a concern meter here.
Well, just shooting for through four games been bad from three.
Just stop. Okay. I mean, like there's a few things like you have to think about someone, Malik Monk, for example.
Oh, Malik.
Okay.
He looked rough tonight.
Let me continue. He is someone that is still looking like he was pretty much, I don't know, unhealthy for most of the summer.
Huh. Yeah,
you,
I mean...
You know, he, like, things... The game is different for him right now. It seems to be for me.
I also just think he's... just, you know, hearing him the other day at practice, he's very much like, it's preseason. And I'm not saying that's the right attitude to have, but, like... He was asked about the Portland game, and he's like, you know, Mike wants us to go. Probably doesn't think we're going hard enough. It's the preseason. There's got to be kind of an in-between. And I feel like Monk is going the other way. Like, he just, he's going in there. Some of the passes he's throwing, like, it just feels like he's a little more nonchalant out there.
Sometimes it's testing things out, too, though. You know, sometimes that's really what it is. I mean, I've seen Sabonis be nonchalant. Mm-hmm. I mean, how many turnovers did he have tonight? But you would never speculate that with Domas when he is trying some of these floater passes, kind of leading his teammates, whatever it may be. Obviously, it wasn't happening as much tonight, again, because you're playing against a taller team. But I don't know. With someone like Malik, I think that is just something we have to remember about him. But I think when you do look at the rest of the shooting, maybe they're just still trying to find their flow with the offense. I don't think it's so much spacing or anything. Like even when Utah went into a zone, it'd be, let's say, De'Aaron attacking a gap, defense collapse, passes it out to DeMar. DeMar misses a three. You know,
they got some great looks. I agree with you.
They did. They did.
And that's honestly what I'm looking at in the preseason is what type of looks are you getting? Are you generating some good looks on offense? You know, last game they had 27 turnovers as a team and we're looking around going, God, what is going on? Well, tonight they only had 11 turnovers.
Yeah.
That's a great number, especially for a preseason game. 32 assists is a great number and they missed a ton of shots. So, you know, I think part of this is like, it's four-game sample size. It's a preseason. You're playing different lineups. You're missing Herter and Lyle still. That would be nice to have those guys, you know, injected in the lineup. You know, Monk missed a game. He missed a couple of days, too, after having personal reasons. And like you said, he didn't play all offseason. Like, I'm not concerned about the shooting.
That's all.
I will say this. I think I said this the last podcast. I wanted to see Keegan knock down some shots from three. Because he had been cold. And you know, last year, he was kind of inconsistent. He was 5 of 11 in this game. He hit half the Kings' three-pointers in this game. And it was good to see him finish with 21.
Yeah, he looked smooth out there. I mean, his shot looked smooth out there. And I love the way that he's been playing. I mean, I know we already touched on it a little bit. But just the way that they do need him to do more. And now that he's in year three, not only is it, I feel like I can do more. I think he's put in the work and he's capable of doing so much more on both ends of the floor. And really understanding what it takes conditioning wise to be in the right shape to play that type of defense while still being able to be explosive and aggressive on the offensive end.
Can we get to some people in the chat? Because we just got a super chat from our guy, Bad News Sour Grape.
Thank you.
It's early, but give me a prediction, Deuce and or Mo. Where do you think the Kings finish when the dust clears at the end of the season? Top six or play-in?
Well, Deuce already... Are you still... Do you still have your prediction even after a couple preseason games?
Look, man, they're going to be good.
But what was your prediction? I mean, it's out there. It's on video somewhere.
Can I be honest? I don't remember
Yes, you do.
I said they could be top four, right?
Yeah. No, you didn't...
I don't know.
And you said their ceiling is like...
I've said their ceiling... I said they could get as high as two if everything broke right, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Oh, you're not saying it as loud right now.
No, not saying it as loud right now. Listen, you son of a... I also said...
Yeah, what else?
They could be a play-in team. Yes. It's the West. Now, to answer his question, because I actually, put statements on the record or like some people next to me.
Because I'm not weird and I don't need to do that. But go on.
I think they're a top six team. It's going to be tough. It's going to be really tough. Like, look, I've already seen the chat and it's insane. Like, literally some of you, I want to meet you and just like sit with you and like let's namaste together. Because it is borderline insane what I'm reading in the chat. Tea time.
Like what?
We are trash. DeMar doesn't like the motion offense.
Oh, yeah. Keep it coming. What else?
Okay. Let's see what else I have here.
And there's a lot of good comments, too. So I think it's fair to put out. There's people with some positive things.
Dan, I've missed Mo snapping on Deuce for interrupting her. AK, I had a bad feeling about the Kings this year, man.
Oh,
DeRozan is old. Not sure if he is a good fit.
Oh my God. Everyone is so irrational. Like, Deuce is irrational one way. You guys are irrational the other way. Like, can we all find some fucking balance? Jeez.
Braden wants to know, or it wants to put out there, Deuce is going bald.
He's going to. You know what's funny? It does look almost patchy in some areas.
It's called hat hair. You want to compare hair? Gray? Yeah, gray's everywhere, huh?
Wait, that's so mean.
God.
That's so mean. I'm actually proud of my grays, and I've earned my grays.
Little Deucey ain't going the turkey quite yet, guys. Is that where they go?
Do you think you will? I don't think you will. I think you'll just get very light hair.
Yeah. You guys really... Some of you in the chat are really funny, though, about everything. AK says, so disappointed that the Kings didn't get Zach Edey and said they get a guy who won't play until January. Yeah, so I guess Devin Carter, because he can't play there in January, is a complete bust. Also, it's funny, the Zach Edey narrative the last couple of days. It's preseason. We're being loose tonight. Yeah, yeah. I love this.
I mean, we should be loose all the time, but
go on. Before the draft, like, people were clowning Zach Edey, and I'm like, okay, you guys haven't watched him play. The guy's more mobile and skilled than you realize. He's tough. He's a dog. He talks shit. Like, I think he's going to be a solid player. And people acted like he is like Boban, except like with a piano on his back and can't move or something. And it's like, well, I mean, the guy can play. But then like we're going the reverse now, and everyone's like sharing Zach Edey mixtapes. I'm like, yeah, Zach Edey. I'm watching preseason highlights when he's going up against a 6'3" guy. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't have to go to the extremes. Like, you'd be a good fit. And I like him. I think Memphis is dangerous. Actually, Zach Edey was on my checklist to talk about tonight because I've liked what I saw and I want to highlight the fact.
Checklist.
Yeah,
wow.
I put Edey. You see that?
Yeah.
I did. But like, let's not get crazy here and act like Devin Carter is like dead. I mean, he still exists.
Yeah, is that what the narrative is?
No, it's just AK was just saying that.
Okay.
Anthony, super chat. It was great to watch the game and hear Gary Gerald on the call. Lack of size is concerning, but the offensive board fixes seem to be generating more looks. Just got to fall. Here's to another great season of night chats. Appreciate that.
Give me a hell yeah.
Thank you, Anthony. It's not just because he's positive and being nice and saying thank you, Anthony. I think it is interesting. Like, I even saw someone in the chat call Keegan soft. And I just think it's funny because it's like, I don't know what you're watching then. And I think and it's okay. Like, you can have whatever strong opinion that you want to have, but you're wrong. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. But truly, when I look at a game like tonight and I do see a lot of positive things, especially when you look at the leap that maybe some of these guys have taken. We already talked about Keegan, but De'Aaron Fox, we already talked about him on marketing. But I think the other thing he's done a great job of is been more consistent with being active and aggressive on the defensive end, staying up in guys, using that perimeter defense, and then while still being able to be like, okay, I need to be explosive or I need to try to make something happen.
I felt bad for him. He had that one attack and Sexton got him, which was really impressive athleticism by Colin Sexton. And then I think Collins got him on another dunk attempt. But yeah, he's been much more aggressive, attacking, showing off his game, and then defensively he's been awesome. I'm addressing AK one more time tonight. This is it. He says DeRozan is going to be a bust. I just want us to put this on record. He says the guy looks like he can't play defense. So DeMar, there's going to be moments where he's matched up. There's tough matchups for him. I actually think he's a better team defender than maybe he gets credit for. I thought he made some nice plays tonight. In fact, you know, you look at the end of the night, he did have five steals in this game.
Oh.
And he is he had a couple of deflections as well.
But
so
he can't
play
defense. Yeah. Oh, okay. That's interesting.
Five steals in this game. plays physical. I think he's better against bigger guys than on the perimeter. There's no doubt about it. So
yeah, and you're definitely, I mean, let's just be honest. There was a play earlier in this preseason that he got cooked, I think, in one of the first Warriors games. And it was one of the first things I pointed out to do. It's like, geez, he cannot guard some of these guards. But he also does do a great job when it comes to being in that team defense, being a big body, and even against some bigger bodies. He knows how to shadow the ball, rip it away, deflect, all the other good defensive IQ things.
One thing going back to Keegan, I saw people in the chat mention this too. The end of the game where the Kings were trying to get a three ball, and Keegan passed up a look, and they got it to Fox.
Yes.
What was your thought when you saw Keegan pass it up?
Irritated. Like, you know, you saw...
Do you think he had enough space? I know when he caught it, he was open, but, like, it looked like once he went to be set in his shot, I have to go back and watch, it looked like the length of whoever that defender was made him second-guess it a little bit.
So, obviously it did, but I don't even know if it was so much the... And, again... I was on the floor. I don't know how close the person was, but we have now seen Keegan capable of shooting and elevating over people. I know it's hard when you're like catch and shoot from right there from three. It's not like you're coming off the dribble and you're going to have more of a bounce so you can elevate higher or anything, but he's still a big, tall guy. Felt like there was enough room. I felt like he was hesitating in his mind first, like, oh, is this actually going to be an open three? And when he even took that second thought like that, that is when there wasn't enough time.
There's no better time to take that. One, you've knocked down five of them in the game.
Yep.
You're getting a somewhat clean look.
For sure.
And even if it's not wide open, you've got the size, like you said, to shoot over somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, shoot that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like, for him, especially in the preseason, let it fly, because come regular season, we're going to need you to take these shots.
You can be a clutch player, you know, like
you're going to get open looks. You can't pass them up.
100%. And it put De'Aaron in a tough spot there too, because then he had to go, okay, shit, I got to make something happen, but it's got to be a three. Then he ends up getting fouled. Then they review, and then it ends up being on the floor.
What a trash call. Did he really get fouled at all? They say he slightly got contact.
I thought he got fouled before the shot for sure.
I thought his look at the end of the game, I know it was deep, but it was a great look.
It totally was. I know. And he made that half court one, obviously before the half. So no, he's definitely capable of shooting a deep three. And it wasn't like he chucked it up. It was a good look even there at the end. Being in those situations are good to just practice and be in. I think for someone like Keegan, it's like, take the shot, miss the shot, feel the pain if you got to, but like, just be willing to feel that pain and be that guy for your team.
Yeah. Let it fly. I mean, you, like I said, he shot 11 of them tonight.
Yep.
Should have been 12. Yeah. But I think overall, I like how he's been playing in the preseason, especially defensively. Some of the stuff offensively has been really nice as well.
Yeah.
Sabonis got off to a fantastic start in this game. His final numbers end up being 29 points, 16 rebounds. He had 11 offensive rebounds. He also had 8 assists, 2 steals. He knocked down a three, one of three from downtown. He finishes 11 of 21. He was 2 of 8 in the second half. And he definitely struggled late in this game with
the size,
this length around him. And they were collapsing like crazy. If he's getting a look over there, they were all over
him. He was doing everything he could, though. What I loved about it is that it never felt like he was scared or deflated after getting blocked by Collins or whoever else felt like was making life that much more difficult for him down there. And I thought there was a few times, I think there was maybe one or two times where it felt like he brought the ball down and three people collapsing. What are you supposed to do? You know, and of course you want him to find a way to pass it out. And you hope that's just something that as the season keeps happening, that teammates understand where exactly they need to be in those moments when three guys have collapsed on Sabonis in the middle of the paint.
Other things that jumped out to me tonight. I thought DeMar had some great looks in the mid range that he was just short on.
Yeah.
And I am curious, you know, Monk made that comment the other day. Hey, we're tired. We had 8 practices in 10 days, blah, 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 blah. Honestly, I am wondering if someone like DeMar is like a little like, Jesus Christ, practicing a lot. Yeah. And like now I'm playing in a tempo. It is more pace. We're getting up and down a little bit.
Guess what? It will only be good for him.
Yeah.
It will only be good for him. Yeah. And I started listening to his audiobook tonight.
Is it voiced by him?
No.
That's so weird.
No, it's not. No, it's not at all. I think I didn't even check the name or anything.
We'll do an impersonation of what the Audible sounds like.
Nope.
You can't?
Okay.
Nope. Okay. We'll not do that.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay, my bad. I'm sorry.
Jesus.
I'm so stupid sometimes.
You're so stupid.
I was trying to make you do something funny.
Yeah, wouldn't be funny.
You're right. Okay.
So anyway, what he was saying, at least in the first couple of chapters, he was talking about how his dad just pushed him. Like nothing was ever good enough. You know, people would be oohing and aahing on the floor, and then he'd have to come home and do all these push-ups in his room because nothing was good enough. And my point to this is that this is the perfect type of guy with the perfect type of mentality that understands someone pushing him to the limit. And even if he didn't have that in previous organizations, he has that again now in a time where he wants it most, right? He wants to win more than anything. He felt positive or encouraged by what this organization has done and the pieces here. And so it might take a little bit of time to really, you know,
The attention he draws is awesome. And I wrote down a play. When you were talking about it, it just reminded me. I just want to see when this was. Let's see. I think it was in the fourth quarter when the Kings were trying to get back into it. I'll say this. There was a stretch where Utah was kind of looking like they were pulling away in the third. And I think the Kings came out of a timeout. And it was like, oh, we got to make this a game and make it fun, which they did. This did pretty well. But yeah, it was about 2.5 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. It's crunch time. And this is like some of the stuff I'm looking at. It's like, all right, what's this going to look like in crunch time? You know, adding DeMar to the fold. Well, DeMar's got the ball, I believe, on the right wing above the three-point line. And there's one defender on him and another one is shading on him. And De'Aaron Fox is on the opposite side. He just swings it to him. And De'Aaron's wide open. Now, De'Aaron and I ended up missing the shot, but then I think Sabonis had a putback. But it was exactly what we thought is like, dude, late game situations, it's going to be tough because DeMar will make the right play. He's a good playmaker. He had one pass that was to like, I think he almost threw it back to Sacramento. He's trying to get out to Keegan. I'm like, what are you doing? I mean,
into the second row of stands, but okay.
I think he killed a fan in Utah. I see the attention he's drawing, and it's like, dude, in the fourth quarter of a game, you're getting De'Aaron Fox the ball wide open because the defense is paying attention to DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, there's like all these good little things that I keep recognizing, or you know, you just pointed out another thing that we keep seeing that keeps me encouraged with what things can be. And I don't think what my hope is, and for what everything can evolve into, even in the beginning of the season, even into like the first 15 games, I don't think it's crazy, right?
No.
I'm not crazy, right?
I mean, you are, but that's a different conversation.
Oh, good.
Another thing I like tonight.
What?
I like me some J-Mac.
Oh, I wanted to talk about him.
Jordan McLaughlin. Yes. He had some fun moments.
He totally did.
He's scrappy.
Not only is he scrappy, but he's dependable. You know, when he's out there, you feel like even if he's missing a three, it's like he's relocating with the guard that is driving it to the basket to, you know, so he can be as open as he can be to find the best shot available on that end of the floor. And then on top of that, he's running the floor. He's being active defensively. Yeah, I really like Jordan McLaughlin. Oh, and on top of that, I posted like a video of him the other day warming up before that first game that he came back. And I had multiple people from Minnesota be like, oh my God, he's the best. You're going to love him. Just so many people have high praise for him just as a human being. And I just think that's the coolest thing, especially for someone in this role.
He ends up playing 20 minutes in this game. He had 9 points. He had 5 assists, 4 rebounds, and 4 steals.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah, that's making an impact.
Yeah.
So, and nice floater inside. Yeah, I like how he played. And like, get the 20 minutes off the bench. Our internet didn't just go down.
Well, I mean,
YouTube just went away. So on my, we're good. It scared me. Morgan, I'm sorry.
I know. We've been traumatized by some.
God, that scared me.
That was scary.
Anyway, yeah, I like what I've seen from Jordan McLaughlin. He looks like he could be a nice pickup playing that, I guess, Davion Mitchell role of last year. I don't know. I mean, that's the thing, that once Herter gets back, we'll find out like what this rotation looks like.
Well, that's what's so interesting about this whole thing, too. You know, you see a game like this where your starters are playing a lot of minutes. Mike Brown goes into the rotation, and the first rotation was what? It was Malik and Jordan McLaughlin off the bench, right? And I like to see like, okay, is this what it's going to look like? Well, probably not, because you don't have Trey Lyles. You don't have Kevin Herter. It feels like it's going to be different for a lot of different matchups because of the lack of size and the need for size. So yeah, I don't know. I think that's a wait and see situation. Another thing, Alex Len, I really appreciate him.
Why do you appreciate? Oh, did you like the two big lineup? You saw Alex Len and Sabonis in there for a second. I think Brown was like, I need Sabonis to get some goddamn help out there.
Yeah.
And the first play, they run that lineup. They run a play to get Alex Len a corner three.
Yeah.
And he buried it.
I know. And you think about him, obviously, that's not going to always be the situation.
I'll say this. Oh. I don't know why, Morgan.
What?
But he never shoots the three in Sacramento. He had 1 year, years back with Atlanta, where he knocked it down, I think, at like a 38% clip.
We've talked about this a lot because
we've
joked about it, but we've also been serious about it. And I mean, there's just not going to be a lot of times where he is out there. But I mean, if the matchup makes sense and you are running a few minutes with Sabonis and Alex Len out there, why can't he be the one to stretch the floor for a second, right? And especially if his defender isn't going to come out on him, it's not something, and it's not like you want him shooting 5 threes a game or anything. But at the same time, when you're looking for a bucket, that could always be something that you maybe go for.
We have a couple people in the chat talking about the defense. One saying it's concerning. Another saying the defense, quote, sucks balls.
The rotations definitely sucked early on. Oh my God, they were ugly.
It was a mixed bag. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, are they supposed to look like locked in, like it's the regular season or like playoffs? I don't know. Like,
and they're Mike Brown, yes.
Yeah. I mean, I know Brown wants that, but I don't know.
But I think one of the reasons why it's not that, I think when you just think again, rationally, you go, well, the chemistry isn't fully there for this team defense. And, you know, let's say, for example, it's after a few rotations have been made and it's Jordan McLaughlin in and some of the starters or whoever. It's like you're just going to talk with people differently. You're going to know people's cadences differently as you start to get to know one another. So I think it's important to just always recognize and remember it's not like they're always practicing this in practice together, right? Certain lineups are, the starting lineup is, and you hope as they keep practicing against other teams, especially in this preseason, they get better and better at it. But yeah, it's not crisp or perfect right now.
No. But I've seen enough from Keon, Keegan for sure. I know De'Aaron's had some really nice moments, Jordan McLaughlin. But yeah, I mean, the ceiling of this group, I don't, can they get to where they were last year, which was 14th, very average? Can they be slightly better than that? I think it's going to be tough with the size thing at this point with how the roster is constructed, but they just need to play physical. And, you know, like my thing with De'Aaron, and you're asking so much from De'Aaron because the guy averaged 26 a game last year, career best, made the most threes he's ever made in his career. He led the league in steals. He was near the top in deflections. He had an awesome year last year. And I think the hope, too, is like DeRozan can take some pressure off of him so it doesn't have to be him all the time. And with that said, you almost want that to be like more of a push. Like, Fox, you have all defensive team potential. And in the moments you saw tonight where he's matched up with Markkanen and he's making his life miserable, like, I want to see that all the time. It seems like we have these moments where we get angry Fox and he turns it on. And it's like no one's like stopping him, whether it's on offense or defense. And so it's hard to play like that 36 minutes a night, that level of intensity. But like if you're trying to get where you want this team to get and where it does fall on him to like,
but
hey, you
got
to do
more.
That a lot. No, for sure.
Oh,
you are doing
just
that.
In the preseason.
And that's the thing is like, I'm not expecting that as much in the preseason. I'm not expecting him go balls to the wall. Like, let's effing go. I mean, even tonight, like he looked a little gimpy at one point, like, I think he got hit in the thigh and they were looking at him on the bench and then he was messing with his hand at one point. And I'm like, dude, like I want you to like show off what you can do, but also it is the preseason.
Well, you know what I've noticed he's done a lot of on the defensive end? He plays with his chest.
Yes.
A lot. And it's like he's stronger than ever.
It's like Deuce Mason at Roosevelt on Saturdays. It's crazy. Go ahead. Are you going to deny? Deny that?
The way you said that, with just pure confidence.
Yeah.
You gonna deny? I don't know. I've never had to like post up on you. And when I did, it's just a major mismatch and major mismatch because of size, not because
I'm
of strength.
I'm talking about the perimeter. I know. Anyway, I'm not worried about the post.
Anyway. But yeah, no, you're definitely strong out there. But real strength, De'Aaron Fox using his chest, defensive end.
Keegan too. I think they want
absolutely.
Them
no, but I guess my point is with De'Aaron, I think he's done an even better job at holding his ground, not only with someone like Lauri Markkanen, but even some of these guards, like he'll stay in front of them. He'll shuffle his feet and just still be playing with his chest, showing his jersey, squaring up. And I'm just like, how did you get from point A to point B? And you didn't even have to like shift your hips or anything. It's just, yeah, it's really impressive what I'm seeing from him.
All right, we've got more coming up. I do want to give some love to the people who are supporting us by watching us live. We appreciate
you.
Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Shout out to Brother Fabs. Been a member for 17 straight months.
Give me a hell yeah.
Thank you.
Also, shout out to Mother.
Hey, Mother. Okay, so you all know it by now. Pregame with your mother. You could have gone tonight before the game. It doesn't matter if they're home or away. Every single Kings game, you can go to Mother on K Street and get all drinks 50% off. But that's not all. If you have not eaten their food yet, my God, you are missing out. Like, they are the epitome of farm to fork. all of their food so fresh, so amazing. They use local. They're Sacramentans. They're Kings fans. You've got to try it out.
Guess I don't have anything to say.
Thank you.
How about the Po' Boy?
I knew you were going to say that.
Go check them out before a game. 2319 K Street, mothersacramento.com. You will not regret it. And if you're a Kings fan, you will not regret it if you sign up for a Golden One membership.
Hell yeah.
Because it pays to be a Kings fan at Golden One. You get up to 50% off Kings home games through Golden One's online discount ticket portal. You also get 15% off merch when you use your Golden One card at the Kings team store. You get behind-the-scenes tours, maybe Kings warm-up watch, huh? Maybe a post-game free throw? Plus food and beverage discounts at Member Monday games. That's what you need to do. Become a member at GoldenOne.com. That's how you win.
We are one. As one. Oh, I like that. As one. But we are one. But also, I've talked to someone before that after being a member, being able to shoot a free throw on the floor, they were like, I never thought I was going to touch an NBA floor. And that was the coolest thing. So anyway, my point is there's so many different opportunities with when you become a Golden One member.
You're damn right.
Yep. You're welcome.
Who would be your player of the game tonight, Maureen? You're simply the best player of the game.
I mean, I would have picked Jordan McLaughlin, but I feel like...
Really?
Yeah.
Just filling up the stat sheet.
You know, I really... It's one of those like new things, like it's.
You got it last time.
I was gonna say like a new crush, but no, it's just exciting when you see this addition and it's like, oh my gosh, it's working out, and I feel like it's just gonna be such a bright spot. So yeah, he got it last time. So I don't know, Keegan. Is it?
The simply the best player of the game, brought to you by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors. Tonight, we're going with Keegan Murray. 21 points, 5 rebounds, 2 steals. He did it on 8 of 19 shooting. He knocked down 5 for 11.
Wow.
From downtown.
And it could have been 5 for 12, but he is still simply the best player of the game.
Speaking of simply the best, yes. Shout out to our friends over at Northwest Exterior. Mike Brown runs a system on the basketball court, Morgan.
Yeah.
So running a home requires a system, too. Northwest has a window system that fits your home, your life, and your style.
Yes, Northwest Exterior Windows are obviously the best. And they're right here in this podcast room. And on top of that, there's also an HVAC system working in this podcast room. So when it's hot outside, it stays cool inside officially. But not only that, Deuce, you got to tell one story about how sturdy these windows are. Because
Oh my God! Today, I'm on the phone with my grandpa, not really my grandpa, but Jerry Reynolds. I'm catching up with my guy, Jer Bear, talking some hoops.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Deucey, DeMar DeRozan, I don't know if they're big enough. Anyway, so I'm talking to Jerry, and, you know, Carlin's on the couch, on the top of the couch, where he looks out the window, okay? Windows closed. And, again, Carlin, my dog, who's paralyzed in the back. You got to be careful when he's on the couch. You don't want him to fall off. So you position some cushions so there's no way for him to fall off. I'm walking through the house and I hear a crash. And my first instinct is, did Carlin fall off the couch? Is he dead? I look and Carlin's still there. And so I'm looking around. There's nothing going on.
And then
I look outside in the window. I see a hawk. A hawk
crashed into the window
straight from Atlanta, flying in here, just laying right below the window.
It ended up being okay, but wait, what was okay though? The window was okay too.
The window took a hawk. Boom, that hawk was coming for Carlin. He saw Carlin's little bunny ears sticking up looking like a rabbit, thinking he's going to swoop in, grab Carlin, and just whisk him away.
No crack on the windows?
No.
So if you have little animals at home and maybe hawks that want them too, Northwest Exterior Windows will protect your pets.
And so the first thing I did, I went outside, I grabbed that hawk.
No, he didn't.
No.
You said it flew away.
I didn't get off the phone with Jerry. I'm like, oh God, I got to call animal control. I mean, who do I call?
Yeah.
Hawks
you
police?
You call Northwest Exteriors. Oh, this happens all the time.
Anyway, I'm thinking it's a hawk. Some people said it could be a falcon. Either way, they're both from Atlanta.
Okay.
Thank you. Both anyway,
stupid jokes.
The window did not crack, and Carlin is still alive. Why? Because they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
Go to northwestexteriors.com.
So dumb.
And but so the other thing I looked up after, I'm like, could a hawk like actually pick up Carlin? Carlin weighs, he's probably like 20 something pounds now. You know, he's lost a little bit since
not having half of his body working. Yeah.
But like, I looked up, a hawk can only carry up to 4 pounds. I'm like, oh, okay. So he would have just like clawed Carlin to death.
Wow. Why did he? I mean, I guess Carlin can look like a little bunny. So
his ears, yeah, stick up like little bunny ears.
Wow. Well.
No, good news. Carlin still with us at this hour.
Thanks, Northwest.
Yeah, he is. Okay. He's
cute.
Anyway, Morgan Reagan. Okay, where are some other topics that I want to hit with the Sacramento Kings tonight? Of course, we don't need to spend 10 hours breaking down this specific preseason game, but we've seen 4 games now. Yeah. What's one thing that excites you and one thing that maybe we haven't mentioned that makes you... Ugh.
Okay. One thing, I mean, I guess I've mentioned... One thing that it excites me just as an individual was Jordan McLaughlin. Seriously. Like, I think that it will be an upgrade when it comes to depth coming off the bench. But then that goes to the and you look at the lack of size. It's not even so much, you know, I could have gone to the shooting right now too and been like, oh, the shooting. But I'm not really concerned with that. I feel like that will come and go, do what it need to do. But when it comes to size, you can't like grow and shrink, right? It's not going to happen. So you can, I guess, if you made some trades and you made some tweaks. But I also, there's a lot of things I really do like about this roster. It's just when you physically see some of these matchups, you're like, oh shit. Like, they are bigger. And I felt that way in the last 2 games against two of probably the not so good teams in the Western Conference.
Yeah. And that's where the concern is, like, oh, okay, these teams may not be that great. But and then you watch some of these teams, you're like, I don't know, like, could Utah be better than we think? Like, Keontae George looks like he's taking a step, dude. And showed flashes last year. I know he's still raw, but the guy's a bucket, you know?
And what if Markkanen's healthy all year?
Markkanen's
and then
a stud.
Kessler maybe is like... Do like a
they're
little
not,
better,
and I'm not saying they're going to be good, Collins. But it just goes to show you, like, some people project them as like the second worst team in the West,
sure.
And it's like the second worst team in the West or third worst, like, may not be like the worst team ever, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so that's even Portland. I don't think Portland's going to be good, but I'm like, even if they're the worst team in the West, is that going to be?
Are they going to be annoying?
Yeah.
You know, are they going to be that physical? Is it going to be that one team that somehow the Sacramento Kings can't beat all year?
Oh, do not say that, because the Kings play them early.
I know.
In the chat, someone asking, oh, Deuce, what's your opinion on Keon today? You know, Keon, I think defensively has been a lot of fun again, and it's not a surprise. I think tonight, he has this as a young player still where he's trying to play physical, and there are some tough matchups at times because of his size that he gets in foul trouble, a little handsy. And tonight he was in foul trouble a lot of the night. I think offensively I've been a little more encouraged because, you know, last year he was like such a catch and shoot guy, mm-hmm, and didn't do a ton else out there. Not that he wasn't capable. Yeah. That's what his role was, go play defense. He's had some nice attacks at the
basket.
The
little baseline floater that he had.
Tonight?
Yeah. I liked it. No, I'm with you. I'm with you there. And I think sometimes, too, he's not going to get the respect he deserves sometimes defensively. And I guess I shouldn't just say, like, oh, officials are going to look at him and not give him the respect. But I do believe that there are going to be times where if he's handsy on a star player, like, it will be called. It's something that we saw last year with him. I feel like we see that happen at times around the league. And so he just has to make sure that he's almost doing everything perfectly on that end of the floor. And I think he's capable, though, of doing a lot of even better than what he's doing right now. Like you said, being more disciplined with his hands. So then he doesn't give the officials a reason to call anything like that.
One other observation. I think I have all the box scores in front of me from the preseason. I feel like De'Aaron's been rebounding pretty well. Tonight, he had 7 rebounds.
Hell yeah.
Against Portland, 7 rebounds. Okay. Against Golden State, 6. And against Golden State, 3. But 7, 7, 6, and 3? I like that. I like my guards
rebounding. Being active, rebounding.
Mike Brown's made a point like he wants his
guards to rebound.
But he just wants guys crashing. And when you see 20 offensive rebounds tonight, I feel like the offensive rebounds have been nice. And that's, you need that. You need those extra possessions. And you hope that, like, a lot of times that could create chaos for the other team, right? Like, they're scrambling around, maybe get an open three, somebody's open. The Kings didn't capitalize, obviously, on those opportunities as much tonight, but that's a great number.
Yeah. I think, well, one of the reasons, too, when you look at someone like Devin Carter, like why they were intrigued with him as a guard, he's a rebounding guard, you know, nose for the ball. Just doing those little things are so very important. And Mike Brown has talked about doing the little things being so important this year and everyone really paying attention to detail. And so when you are seeing your best player being active, aggressive, and going in for those type of boards, it's what you want everyone to make sure that they are doing, because then you're just pesky and it's more difficult to box you out and just makes life more difficult for the other team.
I do want to see this. I'm testing something right now on the stream, making sure I turn this on. I did drop the link if people wanted to try to call. I'm not going to be like, just, we'll just have to check it to see if people end up using it. But I want to maybe test it tonight. Anyway, Kings final preseason games Thursday. They play the Clippers.
What day is today? Tuesday?
Tuesday.
Okay, cool.
And I think some are wondering, do you think the starters will play? I do think the starters will play. I don't know that they'll play as much as tonight. I mean, you look at the minutes tonight. Fox played 36. Keon played 23. He fouled out. Sabonis played 36. Keegan played 37. Yeah. DeRozan played 36. Mike Brown only played 5 guys off the bench in a preseason game. 2 of those, Isaac Jones, Mason Jones, didn't play any more than 3 minutes and 24 seconds. We saw Alex Len, McLaughlin, and then Malik Monk played 29 minutes.
You didn't make the postseason last year, and on top of that, you'll have an entire week before the regular season game.
Yep.
I mean, you just go watch 35. You see LeBron James at 39 years old complaining about minute restrictions, and it's so true. Like, not only if you're putting the work into your body, doing all the right things, do you want to be out there playing, but it actually ends up being better for your body in so many different ways, depending on obviously how you're going to the rack, how you're getting rebounds, like how your body is being treated out there and how you're treating your body. But yeah, it's very important that you just do everything 110%.
Markkanen ended up playing almost 33 minutes in this game. Keontae George played 30. So they played their guys as well. But he leaned on the starters. I do think they're going to play, just maybe not as much against the Clippers. I was thinking back to last preseason. I don't think Brown played the starters in that last preseason game. I'm like, why wouldn't he? Because he's always trying to play them. The Kings had a back-to-back last preseason, which is insane. The final 2 preseason games were back-to-back.
Okay.
Yeah, so stupid.
Yeah, what are we doing?
I think it was like Golden State, and then they played the next night against Utah. Anyway, they could play Thursday, and then the Kings don't play again until the following Thursday to open up the regular season. I think you want to get those guys some game action, 100%.
I'm totally with you on that.
Against a Clippers team, that's different. I'm curious who they end up playing. You know, Kawhi's still out. Harden's there. Dude, how about Batum last night? I was watching that game for a little bit. Batum was a monster.
Who did he block at the rim? And then he ended up blocking a 3-point shot.
Got Clay, dude.
Oh, that too. Yeah,
you see what Clay's final numbers were last night? Any guesses? Like, from his shooting?
3 of 10 from 3-point land.
Okay. He was 0 for 9 in the game. 0 for 9 in the game.
Preseason? bad shooting, just getting everything. I mean, come on, we're doing the same thing for Malik. And
yes, people. It was everyone was clowning him last night on social media. It should be noted that like it might look a little different with Luka and Kyrie playing. Those two did not play game last night.
Oh, yeah.
So I would think that we did see Paul George go down last night. Morgan, I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
It looks like he's going to be reevaluated in a week. And the other one is Joel Embiid.
No.
Is not going to play back-to-backs this season.
Oh, I did see that.
And he made a statement like, I'm not going to play back-to-backs probably for the rest of my career.
Look, I mean, he wants to play for a long enough time. If you know what you need, you know what you need. But also, not having one of your best players available screws with so many different things. One, if someone like Paul George, one of your other best players is out, it can screw with a lot of things. But also, if it's just the identity of your team and a matchup you're going against or whatever it may be, and other things could happen to him and his health along the way. It might not just be back-to-back. So, yeah, anyway, it's sad.
It really is.
I don't think it's like one of those things where you pile on him. It's like, dude, the guy just has a body that's not really made for professional sports. I mean, I guess he does have a body and a unique skill set that's made for professional sports, but like that just isn't everlasting.
Let's do a little test on the call. Let's see if Cody is there. Hi, Cody. Cody, don't let me down. This Morgan's gonna give me so much shit if this doesn't work.
Because I said no.
Morgan's anti-calls now.
No, I'm not. I am not anti-calls. I almost think it's like calls we need to do with like it needs to be like a Patreon thing or something, because then it's like, no, because then it's like we're just doing thing of calls. Okay, let's see Cody. Face. Hi, Cody.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, yes. We got you, man. Morgan's not going to let me take calls ever again if you're bad, dude. So make this good.
I love it. Well, there's a lot of pressure talking
you're
for the
great,
first time
Cody.
On whatever this Streamlabs thing is now. So I was at the game. I live in Utah. It was, unfortunately, I'm married to a Jazz fan. So tonight didn't turn out that way. But, you know, for a preseason game, really competitive, really fun. Utah's got some trees down there, man. And they have also one of my favorite coaches in the league. But going to the Kings.
You talking about Will Hardy and his deep ass voice? He's got Will Hardy has a sexy voice, dude.
He's got a deep voice, 100%.
It's not as nice as mine, but it's deeper.
Go on, Cody.
Not as nice as yours. Okay. All right, Deuce. All right, Deuce. Whatever helps you sleep at night, man.
Thank you.
Anyway, so. Much love to Deuce. Your voice is
enough
great.
Love for Deuce. Keep going, Cody.
All right. Well, I was, you know, I loved what I was seeing on the defensive end. Keegan and Keon, I felt like were just setting the tone. And I felt like a lot of people were setting the tone, but Keegan kept getting like steals and deflections. And it was really awesome to see. Even DeMar was getting in on the deflections. It was really cool to see there. It was very frustrating to have all those offensive rebounds and steals and not being able to capitalize on any of them by being able to shoot the threes. The first half, we were pretty garbage from the free throw line, and then we cleaned it up in the second half. Honestly, my take from tonight is that if we made the threes, I feel like it would have deflated the sails, and it wouldn't have even been a close game. Because if you look at all the other numbers,
yep.
Steals are better than blocks, and we dominated the steals games. There's a lot of times that the Utah Jazz blocked it and it went out of bounds, and then on the possession we ended up scoring anyway. So the blocks, yes, were deflating probably ego wise, but we still scored and it was great. But the steals were really nice because it led to pretty easy transition buckets. But on the steals where we got blocked in transition, not too good. I mean, Jordan Clarkson had that nasty block.
Oh, there are some great blocks in general in this game. Cody, what jersey are you wearing?
Malik Monk.
Aww. Nice, nice.
And it's signed. I got it signed last year. So.
That's dope. Okay, all right. Well, Cody, I think Morgan, if she was going to give you a grade, would probably give you like a good – C plus? Oh, is that what you're
no,
going
to? No, I
you whispered C plus to me.
Yeah, I think you hear the microphone. You get an A, Cody.
Wow. You know what? That's why we love Morgan, you know?
I appreciate you checking in. It's a good test. We might sprinkle this in throughout the regular season. Not every podcast, but we'll sprinkle it in. We appreciate you, Cody.
Hey, appreciate you guys. Thank you for doing what you do.
Thanks, Cody.
Man. There's Cody checking in.
All right. How about Cody, huh?
He lucked out.
Good up to Cody.
Yeah, he was good.
The point he was making, though, about like, hey, all the opportunities the Kings missed, I do think it is worth mentioning, as much as people like shit on Harrison Barnes for, I don't know, his entire Kings tenure, he was a consistent three-point shooter. And
yeah.
He was one of their better three-point shooters the last few years.
Yeah.
You did lose that. And now you hope that maybe Keon can give you some of what he gave you last year from three-point land, and that De'Aaron can be consistent like he was last year as like a 37% guy. Keegan is a little better hurt or all that. But you did lose that. You know Harrison Barnes the last 5 years have been like 38 to 40%.
Yeah. I mean, and I think when you look at Keon and his numbers and what he has shot from three, that he can do that. And if he's put in the best position to do that. And when we talked to him over this summer, he was like, why can't I do that when we have DeMar and De'Aaron out there and Keegan? And I mean, all these guys where people are worried about them, I can catch and shoot. My life can be a little easier at times as well. And I hope we do see that a little bit more from him.
A lot of the chat loving Cody.
Great stuff. Well, Cody's great.
Cody. And people asking about Coach Nick. You know, Coach Nick was actually in our Discord yesterday asking you late last night for a ride somewhere.
Me?
Yes, yeah. It's like Morgan, I can.
Why would he ask me? He should ask you. You're the one that like does things for him.
I
get him pizza.
I hope we see Coach Nick soon. We got to see him soon.
Yeah, what the hell?
And of course, we're throwing a different layer because we're not doing his calls in Discord. It'd be on this new thing we're doing. So. Anyway, also in the chat, Furious Wolf 777 Voodoo. What a name. Says paint points. I'm glad you brought that up. Kings had 60 points in the paint in this game.
And what did the Jazz have?
44.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. 66 points in the paint. Kings, they missed a ton of shots in the paint, too.
And think about all the pressure they had in the paint whenever they would go in there and the amount of times that they'd get blocked or they would just be shots would be contested. But I think what they did such a great job of in the paint was obviously rebounding, being able to battle through, put some things back up. But, yeah, that's impressive.
It is.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're feeling, you seem better than.
More, anything was better than that Portland game. I do not concern myself with wins or losses. I'm looking at how it feels, what it looks like. Is there some improvement? Does the offense show potential? Are you generating good looks? Is the effort there? Like, you saw some good things. Now, you missed shots. Missed shots are frustrating. And I know at some point you go, we got to make shots. Yeah, absolutely. You have to make shots. But I'm going on track, Rick. And I'm like, I think the Kings have some good shooters that they won't have nights like they've had in the preseason. I think they're getting good looks. And they should be a pretty dynamic offensive team this year.
Yeah, I think one of the other things that is super deflating or annoying to watch is when a team just shoots well from three on this Kings squad. And sometimes I'm like, is there just a lot of confidence in who they're playing? Because they're like, oh, we know we can shoot well against this team if we spread the floor from beyond the arc. They don't rotate quick enough, whatever it's going to be. I just hope that those are the things that they can really make sure that they patch up going into the regular season.
I'm just so ready for it. I think it's going to be a crazy-ass atmosphere opening night.
Hell,
just
so fun.
There's excitement going into the season with DeMar on the team. But also, like, dude, Minnesota, they're a good team. Yeah. And Ant's a star. We know that. They're going to look different. Julius Randle, Dante DiVincenzo. Randle's coming back. Yeah. Dude.
It's going to be
tough. I'd rather have them early, though. Don't you think you'd rather have them early?
Uh-huh.
Just while they're still learning each other?
Okay. Still trying to figure things out.
What? I don't know why you said it like that.
I'm serious. Wait, why?
Yeah.
I was being serious. Okay. Like, really thinking about it, I was getting excited. Like, yeah, get them when they're still raw.
Final thoughts?
Is there a question you need to ask me?
I don't know.
You've asked me at the end of every single.
Oh, I'm not. I don't have to do that. Okay. Is there anything? Anything tonight that made you feel different about this season? No. Like, I'm just ready for the real thing to go. Here's my final thought, because you don't have a good one.
Let me answer.
You have one?
What a dick. No, just you go. What's your final thought?
Well, one of my final thoughts, thank you to TKX for becoming a member for 3 months, saying thanks for the great content. Keep it up.
Thank you.
My final thought is, like, the social media, people in the chat, group chats, wherever, I cannot have you, like, freaking out about the preseason. You just need to see, are there some good things? Okay. This is what preseason's for. Like, training camp's for this, to try some shit out, look at different lineups, juggle some things, run some plays. Oh, dude, let's try this. Like, oh, it didn't really work. Let's try this. This is what it's for. And then you hope that after the preseason, when you've got a week before your next game, when it starts for real, that shit's a little buttoned up. You tweak some things. You feel good. Maybe you get Herter back. Maybe you get some guys back, Lyles back. And then you go, let's go. And there's going to be things that happen throughout the year after the tweak. But, like, I can't express enough. I don't give a shit about a record or wins or losses in the preseason. I'm looking for what's good, what's bad, what can be tweaked. The Portland game was disgusting, hideous. We did that.
Barf.
Now it's like, yeah, there's a mixed bag tonight. It was a preseason game. There's some good, there's some bad. Let's figure it out, clean it up. Let's get ready for the real thing.
Is that going to be the title on the Canva?
Let's clean it up.
No. What? Mixed bag.
It's a mixed bag.
That's the term you used all night.
Yeah, mixed bag.
No, I get it.
It's like you're going, like, oh, I went trick-or-treating, and I'm digging in there, and you grab a piece of
almond
candy.
Joy.
But somehow there's, like, why is Carlin's poop in there? That's the Portland game.
That's weird. I mean, like, you could have just said almond joy. Nobody likes an almond joy.
Same thing.
Same thing as Carlin's shit. That's funny. Happy Halloween, everyone.
If we missed anything tonight, let us know in the comments after this is all done. We love you guys. But we got to go.
You all have a wonderful rest of your night. See ya.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Connection is a healthy and essential aspect of our daily lives. From a warm hug after a hard day to kind words just when we need them. These gentle moments give us an understanding of life's true meaning. But when the ability to connect is interrupted by the hustle of daily life and to-do lists pile up next to the worry of who needs school supplies, sometimes making decisions about our health and the well-being of our loved ones can take a back seat. When it comes to those we care for, vaccines are one of the greatest public health success stories. And along with other measures, are one way to help prevent certain diseases. At Merck, we envision communities where families, healthcare providers, local organizations, and advocates work together. Health equity happens when every person, regardless of age and ethnicity, in every community, has fair access to healthcare, including the vaccines they need. For more information, please visit yvaccines.com.